Seems like someone knows that God is preparing you, right? You might not know what it is, but he's preparing you, right? We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God who gives us just what we need. Amen. Good morning, good hope. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Well, he didn't have to allow us to be here, but I'm so glad that he did. I want to thank Pastor Cofield publicly for this opportunity to stand in this place that God has ordained him to be. And we want to continue to pray for our pastor as he works on the assignment that God has given him. Now, this morning at 8 o'clock, I was by myself. In a sense of, I didn't have any 49er fans in here. And I know my brother-in-law is here. And then I walked out and I saw that man right there. I said, God is good. But I want to also recognize my wife, wave your hand, baby. And my kids and all my family, my village friend, family and friends there. So appreciate you all supporting me this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all your many wonderful blessings, God. Thank you for bringing us through all the things that we went through this past week and even this year so far, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you continue to guide our footsteps. Now, Lord, as I prepare to preach your word, I ask that you would sit down my flesh. That you would stand up your spirit in me. I can't preach or teach your word without you, nor will I try. So, Lord, we give you in advance the glory in advance, Lord, for what we'll hear today. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be able to apply it to our lives. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. It's these things we pray in the precious, perfect, and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout history, people have used many means and methods of communication. From the beginning of time, people have communicated through speech, gestures, symbols, smoke signals, and letters. Pigeons and doves were used for messaging dating back to the ancient civilizations like the Egyptians and Persians. As society continued to advance, the printing press allowed for mass production of printed content. Telegrams and telephones began electric signal-based communication. And radio and television developed wireless mass broadcasting. The fax machine, it wasn't commercially introduced until 1926, and it allowed users to send communication almost instantly, even if they were thousands of miles apart. And the internet and email were the beginning of the networked digital interaction. But think about the ways you communicate. How do you express yourself? How do you share information, talk about your feelings, get your ideas across, or explain things? How do you communicate with family, friends, coworkers, and associates? Whether it's face-to-face or through the phone, text messaging, social media, email, body language, or facial expressions, I believe we all would agree that communication is essential. Communication is vital because it enables us to share thoughts, feelings, needs, allowing for relationship building, collaboration, and understanding. And when our communication is effective, it helps avoid misunderstandings and conflicts, leading to smoother interactions in all aspects of life. So if our communication with others is so important and necessary, how much more do you think it is for God to communicate with us? God has always communicated with man. At the beginning of creation, Genesis 2 and 16, one of the first things God spoke to Adam was a command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in Genesis 1:28, God told both Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and to have dominion over every living thing. God communicates with people in many ways, through prayer, the Holy Spirit's guidance, personal experiences, nature, and sometimes through dreams, visions, or significant life events. But the primary source of God's communication to us is through the Bible, the scriptures, God's holy and divine word. Many, many people wonder, does God still speak today? The answer is yes. God uses the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, all 66 books of the Bible to speak to us. And I don't know about you, but in a world full of noise and opinions, a society that's filled with lies and rumors and where people believe that their words are sovereign, we need to hear from God. We need to hear what God has to say to us. And when I read the Bible, when we hear God's voice guiding and correcting and equipping us so that we can make it through this journey called life, God speaks through scripture. Are we listening? So for a few moments this morning, with the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit, we want to use for a subject for our selected text, how God speaks through scripture. The Christian Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And while it's impossible to know how many copies have been printed, it's estimated that it has sold between 5 and 7 billion copies over the last 1,500 years. And in the 21st century, the Bible is printed at a rate of around 80 million per year. So, of course, this makes the Bible the most widely distributed and read book in the world, which is also translated in over 700 languages. But the Bible is more than a book. As Paul sat in prison again, knowing that he would soon face his executioner, some of his final words were in a letter to Timothy, a letter found in New Testament that's known as 2 Timothy. Paul referred to Timothy as his true son in the faith. And unlike some of Paul's other letters, this last letter to Timothy was more personal. In this letter, he reflected on his life. He also encouraged, warned, and instructed Timothy as well. And it was as if he was saying to Timothy, I want you to take the torch. I want you to carry this mission on. I'm expecting you to remain faithful. I want you to be strong in these last days. Watch out and take care of yourself. If you knew that you had come to the end of your life, what would you share with your loved ones and friends? How would you encourage them? Would you remind them of God's love? Would you challenge them to continue to live for the Lord? While this letter was Paul's final instructions and encouragement to Timothy, he also wrote it for the church, for believers everywhere, for us today. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul declares that all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, every word of the Bible was breathed out from God. So some translations say inspired by God, but the words of the Bible came from God, although they were written by men. The Apostle Paul, he affirmed this when he said in 2 Peter 1 and 21, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So when Paul says all scripture is inspired by God, he's referring to the Old Testament since it was completed at this time. But he's also including the writing, any writing that was considered authoritative and that was authoritative enough and that which was read in the church meetings. So which by the end of the first century, this would have included the four gospels that we know and Paul's writings, because in 2 Peter 3 and 15, it says Paul's writings were classified as scriptures. Paul, he reminded those that he reminded Timothy that the scripture has authority because God inspires them and they are profitable. In other words, they are useful and beneficial to us. When I was growing up, we didn't have separate children in youth church like we have in churches today. We had to sit in what we call big church. And that's when you sit next to your parents and you better had to behave, right? Youth church was on second Sundays for us. And this is where the children and the youth would usher, and they would sing in the choir. Y'all remember the youth choir? They would march in from the back of the church all the way up to the choir saying, y'all remember that? Huh? Y'all remember that? I know y'all remember that. But youth church for us was on second Sunday, that one Sunday out of the month. But I remember in youth Sunday school, we would sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Y'all remember that? What about this one? Jesus loves me. This I know for the... Yeah. These lyrics were simple, right? And they were primarily repetitive. But they were saying that the Bible, the word of God, the scriptures have authority. And whatever it says, I'm going to believe it. Whatever it says, I will stand on the word of God because it's my spiritual foundation. So since the Bible is God-breathed and it has ultimate authority, how does God speak through scripture? Paul shares with us today four ways the scripture benefits and speaks to us. Number one, in verse 16, God speaks through scripture by teaching us his truth. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. Teaching here in the Greek, the activity of educating or instructing, activities that impart knowledge or skill. Paul says that the scripture teaches us what is right and true. The scriptures show us God's truth. Psalm 119 and 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One of Timothy's primary tasks was to teach. He was to instruct believers in God's truth. And just like today, there were false teachers and there were false teaching as well. And so this is why Paul, he established the authority of the scriptures as being God-breathed. So that Timothy could be reminded that he was sharing the true word of God. And when you know it comes from God, you can stand firm and boldly declare what the Lord says. Many things are being taught today. I know you probably hear them, but we have to be careful because we might find ourselves believing something that's not even close to the truth. Some say Jesus was just a man, but through God's inspired word, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You skip down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. Not that he ceased from becoming God, but he also took on humanity, and it dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like Jesus. He's not just a man, but he is God the Son. But how can you know the truth if you have not taken the time to read God's word, allowing him to teach the truth about him? Klein Snodgrass, in his book Between Two Truths, Living with Biblical Tensions, he offers this fable demonstrating how the devil can twist the truth. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, and they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of the truth, the devil replied. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? Asked the cohort. No, said the devil, because I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. You see, Satan is happy to share pieces of the truth. So the way we have victory over him is by knowing God's truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We must be rooted in the truth of scripture so that we can identify the lies and the traps of the enemy that causes us to fall short. Ephesians 6:14 8 says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. In a world that's filled with lies and deception and confusion, many ask, what is truth? And Jesus answers in John 17:17, your word is truth. God has given us his word as the ultimate source of truth. So God, he speaks through scripture by teaching us his truth. Number two, God speaks through scripture by convicting us when we stray from his truth. So we know what's true, right? So God expects us to obey it, but he convicts us when we don't and when we stray from that truth. Paul says the scripture is profitable for teaching, but also reproof. Yes, reproof, an act or expression of criticism, disapproval of, to rebuke, especially by a person in authority. The scriptures are profitable for reproof. In other words, God convicts us when we stray from his word, when we stray from his truth. And when we stray from God's truth, what God has spoken in his word is AKA sin. Hebrews 4:12-13, the ESV, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature, let me say that again, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God speaks through his word, and it's alive and powerful. So much so that it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing is hidden from God. Everything is exposed before him. Romans 3:23, it tells us that we all have sinned. We will sin. And I told them at 8 o'clock this morning, some of them might be sinning now. Well, how am I sinning, preacher? What are you thinking? I'm going to leave that right there. But now that we're all on the same page, right? Have you purposely not read your Bible or prayed like you should have because you knew that it would convict you? You knew that it was going to expose your mess. You knew that it was going to reveal your sins. You knew it was going to make you act right. You knew that you was going to have to give an account to God. I know I'm not the only one. So we just read in Hebrews that nothing is hidden from God. So instead of running from him, that's the time that we should be running to him, so that he can help us with our struggles. He can help us with our strongholds. He can help us with our sins. The Bible is like a mirror. When we look into the mirror, we see a physical reflection of ourselves. But when God speaks through scripture, we see a spiritual reflection of ourselves. His word helps us to see ourselves as he sees us. James 1:22-25. Let's read that one together. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So God speaks through scripture by convicting us when we stray from his truth. Number three, God speaks through scripture by leading us back to him. Now this should be a shouting part right here. So we should be seeing this pattern, right? That's developing in verse 16. God speaks to us through the Bible, teaching us his truth and convicting us of our thoughts and those actions that go against his truth. And because he's loving and kind, when we do go astray and when we do get off track, which we will, he leads us back to him. The scriptures are profitable for correction. Correction. The act of offering an improvement to replace a mistake. So I'm managing this project at work, and we're the primary consultant, and we have several sub-consultants on our team. And during the bi-weekly call last week, the client expressed some concern about one of our team and partners. The client feels like the task that this sub-consultant is leading is going that way, and they really want it to go this way. So the client said to me, we need them to course correct before we get too far down the road. The client wants our teaming partner to first recognize the issue, make the necessary changes and adjustments, and change the course to achieve their desired outcome, because the current course and the current path does not align with the client's vision. You think I'm talking about my project, right? But I'm really talking about how God speaks through the scriptures, showing us how we need to get back on track, which leads us back to a right relationship and fellowship with God. It's like a spiritual GPS. God's word helps us to course correct when we go astray. We can't expect to be blessed when we're out of line or out of position with God. We find ourselves in need of his word, and we need to return to the path he's placed us on, which pleases God. Psalm 119, 176, the Message translation. And should I wander off like a lost sheep, seek me, I'll recognize the sound of your voice. God speaks through scripture, and we recognize his voice by reading his word. It's good to know that when we get off track and when we go astray, we can call on him, and he's faithful and leading us back to the place of peace. And we find that peace in his presence. And when we find that peace, we're led to where God wants us to be. Are you where God wants you to be? Have you corrected your course so that you can align yourself with his will? In his will is where we should be and where we should want to be. Finally, as I get ready to sit down and be happy all by myself, wishing my 49ers were in the Super Bowl today. Number four, God speaks through scripture by training us to live holy lives. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Training, it refers to a disciple's whole education and instructing, the cultivating of mind and morals. Righteousness, the adherence to what is required according to a standard of rightness, doing what's right, doing what God requires. As Paul, he begins to close his thoughts inspired by God. In chapter 3, we see this logical progression continue. The scriptures are beneficial for teaching what is right, for reproof what is not right, for correction how to get right, and for training in righteousness how to stay right. God's word trains us in right living. We aren't just told what not to do, but what we should do instead. We are trained in righteousness. Bible study should go beyond a quiet time fulfillment just to make us feel good. It's good to have that daily quiet time, but it shouldn't become just a checklist. We should dive into the word of God, getting more out of it so that we can hear his voice. It trains us to be God's people and how to serve him faithfully. Training, it takes time. Training is uncomfortable. In training, we're not going to always see immediate rewards. You see, the idea behind training is not that we become perfect in what we're training for, but that we train in a way that minimizes, not eliminates, because remember, we're not perfect, but minimizes the need for later reproof and later correction. And if we allow God to speak to us and to speak through us in his word, training us to live holy, we should start seeing a reduction in our colorful language when someone cuts us off on 288. Our dissertations about others. Notice what I use. Dissertations about others. Me, y'all talking a lot. Should become statements, and eventually you're praying for them. Because mama said, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say anything at all. Transformation comes through training. And when we train in righteousness, we become more like Christ. God's word is our divine guide for living a life of holiness. Leviticus 20 and 7. New Living Translation, so set yourselves apart to be holy, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16, New Living Translation. Let's read that one together. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. The Bible sets the standard for holiness by revealing God's character and his expectations for his people. So we should listen to God as he speaks through scripture by training us to live holy lives. So Paul, he shares with Timothy how valuable the word of God is. And as he approaches the end of his earthly life, can you imagine being sold out to Christ so much to the point that you know your life is about to end, but your concern is for someone else. Your concern is for the success and the continuation of the gospel ministry. And in this final letter to Timothy, Paul encouraged him to be faithful. He encouraged him to be a good soldier for Christ, to preach the truth, and be aware of the actions, attitudes, and dangers of the last days. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul reassured Timothy that the word of God is a great foundation to stand on, because all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by him. And since the scriptures are from God, they are profitable. The Bible is useful. Why? Because through the word, he communicates to us. God speaks through scripture by teaching us his truth. His word is entirely true and trustworthy. God speaks through scripture by convicting us when we stray from his truth. The Bible, it exposes what's wrong with us. But thank God that he doesn't leave us there, right? Because he also speaks through scripture by leading us back to him. He wants to restore us to the right path. And God speaks through us through scripture by training us to live holy lives, which helps us to grow in our faith. When we allow God to speak through us, through his word, for the child of God, it says in verse 16, is complete and equipped for every good work. He works to prepare us for action. The more we know God's word, the more we hear his voice. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad this morning that whatever I need, I can find it in the word of God. Peace in his word, joy in his word, love in his word, healing in his word, deliverance in his word, grace in his word, mercy in his word, forgiveness in his word, salvation in his word, trouble on your job in his word, trouble in your marriage in his word, trouble with haters in his word. Whatever you need, whatever I need, we can find it. We can find it in his word. Whatever we need, we can find it in his word. I'm so glad that God speaks to us through the scriptures.